Good morning. Good to have all of you with us on a beautiful morning. Can you ever remember a more beautiful 4th of July as far as the weather was concerned? Hadn't it been a beautiful weekend? I'm just thankful for it. Even the breeze this morning is so pleasant. Just wonderful to be able to be outside and to celebrate and to be with family. Those of you who are visiting, we're glad you're here. Familiar faces back with us. Glad to have you. As we begin, I've got a couple of Bibles that I want to give for their baptisms. And one of those is to Paul. There you go, buddy. And the other one is to Houston. As we begin this morning, we're going to sing a song. Now, for all you who are younger, guys, ladies, Alley Cat, are you with me? We like being sheep, right? But for this week, there's something greater than being a sheep. Do y'all know what that is? What is it? Anybody know? I didn't prime you. The greater thing than being a sheep this week is being a booster. Being a booster. This is vacation Bible school week, so we got to be boosters this week. All right? Now, what does it mean to be a booster? Carson, what does it mean to be a booster? First thing, you have to come to VBS to be a booster. And you don't have to be little to be a booster. You can just be young at heart to be a booster. Because we're going to have classes for all ages, from our little ones through the adult class. We're going to have a different speaker in the adult class each night as we study the book of Joshua. So I want you to come be a part of that. When you have to come to VBS, two, you need to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors to come be with us at Vacation Bible School. All right, so as we begin, we're all going to practice the booster song. Y'all ready? Bible school starts tonight, 6 o'clock, goes through Wednesday. It'll be 6 tonight, 7 tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. Then we'll have class all together on Wednesday night at 6, and then we're going to have a fellowship meal together after our classes. So class will be at 6. We normally eat at 6 on Wednesday. We're going to have class at 6 on Wednesday, and then have our fellowship meal together after that. So our young people will be studying Joshua, and we'll be studying Joshua in our adult class. I'll be speaking in the adult class tonight. David West will be here tomorrow night. David Dunn will be here on Tuesday night. And Trey Helton will be here on Wednesday night to speak to all of us. So it'll be a variety of styles and views, but I think it'll be a great time for all of us. So encourage young and older alike to come and be a part of Vacation Bible School. We're going to begin now the much anticipated study of the Sermon on the Mount. And I want us to look kind of at the setting of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's perspective. Now, remember something. When the Gospels were written, when all of the Scripture was written, there are no chapter and verse breakdowns. Right? Those were added later. And it's, you know, pretty good at breaking things up, but sometimes as we study chapter by chapter, we look and think, well, they wrote this chapter, and that's the conclusion of one thought. And that's why, as you know, I so often like to just go through and read a whole book, a whole text, because we learn a lot. And I want to tell you, Romans is a great part of that, because in Romans, we have Paul has a thought, and he kind of takes a two or three chapter aside, and then he comes right back to that thought. And if you read it in chunks, you kind of miss Paul's overall view. It's important that we read all of the text. And so in Matthew, we have really a section that the Sermon on the Mount is contained in. And I want us to go back and look at the text that we looked at last week, and that's from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, and here's what he does, and Matthew records this for us. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Matthew is using kind of a literary device here, if you will, and he says, this is what I'm going to talk to you about. It's about Jesus preaching and teaching and healing. All right, that's what I'm going to talk to you about. It's kind of like when you write a letter, making it long is not always a good thing, especially if somebody who's really busy, you just want them to get the point. So what you're kind of taught to do is tell them what you're going to say, say it, and tell them what you said. You know, give a summary, say it, and then summarize it and be done with it. Well, that's really what Matthew does, because he's telling us right here, he's going to talk about Jesus preaching and teaching and healing. All right, let's look at Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. In the original language, it is the same wording as we see in Matthew 4. So in Matthew 4, Matthew is saying, we're going to talk about Jesus preaching and teaching and his healing. In Matthew 9, it's really the conclusion of that part of what Matthew's going to tell us. I've talked to you about Jesus preaching and teaching and about his healing. That's what the chapters that fall in between the end of 4 and 9 are about. And in that is 5, 6, and 7, which are the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus preaching and teaching. And as we talked about last week, we're not sure if this is recording a major part of one sermon or if this is kind of a compilation of Jesus' messages. But it's Matthew saying, Jesus went about preaching and teaching, and here's what he taught. And then 8 and 9 is going to be about, guess what? Healing diseases, casting out demons. That's what Jesus does. So in between these two passages is Matthew telling us about Jesus preaching and teaching and about him healing. And then let's look at just a few verses later in Matthew chapter 10. It's about Jesus sending out the disciples. And what's he tell them to do? As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. The same phraseology again. Healing, preaching, and teaching. So Jesus preaches and teaches and heals. And he sends out his disciples to continue on his ministry. So as we look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it is Matthew telling us what Jesus preached and taught in the synagogues to the people. This is Jesus' message. This is what Jesus taught and what he taught his disciples to teach others. And they're supposed to go and make disciples, right? Teaching them to do what? Do you remember the Great Commission? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. So what did Jesus teach? Well, this is what Matthew is going to record for us in the Sermon on the Mount. These are the teachings, at least in part, of Jesus. This is what Jesus was about teaching. Now, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, and If you haven't read it lately, read it, and we'll read it together. It is challenging. It is challenging when you read what Jesus taught us to do. It's challenging to every one of us. And some of the passages are going to be more challenging to some of us than others, and there'll be other passages that are a greater challenge to some of the others of us. But the whole passage is challenging as Jesus teaches us how people of the kingdom live, as he lived, and teaches us how we ought to live. Now, there is some thought, some discussion that Jesus is really just giving us the ideal, knowing that we can't live up to that. That Jesus is giving us the ideal, and when we look at ourselves in the mirror of the ideal, we will be driven to our knees and realize our need for the cross. Well, there is truth in that. Because when we look at this, there is not one of us who will be able to say, I got that. I've got that. We might be able to grasp it and understand it because the passages are not that difficult conceptually, but they are extremely difficult to practice. And all of us will be able to look at the passages and see where we have fallen short. And we will be glad for the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus. Because when we look at the passage, we'll realize that if I'm going to be judged against the perfect Son of God, Jesus, and that's what the Scripture says, and this is what he taught, and not only is this what he taught, this is what he lived, I'm struggling. Because I'm not the greatest cheek turner that ever was. I'm not the greatest loving of the neighbor that ever was. I have had jealousy and hatred and divorce and those things that Jesus talks about. And I see them in my own life. And I realize my failures. And so we are drawn to the cross where there is forgiveness. But not only is Jesus giving us an ideal that moves us to the cross, Jesus is not just giving us pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. Jesus is calling us to follow him. Jesus is saying, this is what the Father has called me. This is how I have lived. This is how people of the kingdom live. And I am calling you to follow me. We're going to struggle as we follow Jesus, and we already know that. I said, I believe it was last week or the week before, that there's no room for arrogance among Christians because all of us struggle in following Jesus. And to think that I have got it and that I have arrived, I've never met a soul. And I've known some awfully good folks who I thought didn't struggle with being all God has called us to be. But he's called us to it. And he's called us not just to see this as an ideal that's unattainable, but he's called us to walk in his steps and to every day strive to live this way. I want us to sing another song. I want us to sing another song, and the kids will know this song, so y'all sing, but all of us sing together. And it's a child song, or we sing it with children, but it's important. And we're going to conclude our lesson talking about why this is important, because that's what Houston read for. So we're going to sing about the wise men. I turn the mic off because I sound much better without the mic on. Everybody ready to build? JoJo, you ready to build? Everybody, old and young alike, get your build, get ready to build. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood firm. Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand.
The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the foolish man's house went wet. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. Oh, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pretty good. All right. Now, we add part of that last verse. But Jesus, as he closes the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to bring it back up, Mike, and I want to read what Houston read again. Because as we study this, here's how Jesus concludes the lesson. All right? Because we can talk about it. It's just an ideal out there that draws us to a cross. But here's what Jesus says about his teaching. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus' own invitation at the end of the sermon is, put these words into practice. The Sermon on the Mount are lessons that are intended for us to do, to live by, to practice, to build our life on. So as we study this passage together, let's remember that it is Jesus' teaching about how we are to live. Not just how we should live, not how we'll live one day after Jesus returns and everything is renewed. It is how we should live today. This is how we ought to live. Now, again, we're imperfect, and we understand there is the absolute necessity for forgiveness, for we have all fallen short, and sadly to say, we will continue to. But as we study this, let's study it saying, how do I live this in my life? How do I apply these teachings? How do I adopt these attitudes? How do I live as Jesus lived? Because when we look at it that way and realize it's not just an ideal, but it's how I ought to live, we are challenged, to say the least. We are challenged. But following Jesus is a challenge. Jesus said, take your cross and follow me. Follow me because I am the way to the Father. Jesus goes to the cross that we might have forgiveness. Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice that we might be cleansed of our unrighteousness. And for that we're thankful. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, this is how I live. And wise men will hear my words and will follow them. They're not just empty thoughts. It's not just theology. It's not those lessons that we learned in school and said, you know, I don't know why I'm learning this, because nobody will ever stick a gun to my head and ask me if I know this. I know you thought that. You said it. Some of you are bookworms. You didn't. But for many of us, as we struggled along, we wondered why. Jesus says the why is, this is how you are to live. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man. And he who doesn't do them is like a foolish man. Jesus says, hear my words and build your life on them so you will be built on the rock. And no matter what storms come, what winds blow, you'll stand firm because your life is built on the rock. Jesus' invitation is to follow him. And Jesus said, I have paid the price for you. While you were yet sinners, I have died for you. And I have blazed the path. I have become the author and perfecter of faith. Follow me to the Father, because the Father and I are one. If you need to come this morning and respond to the invitation by naming Jesus as Lord and putting him on in baptism, or if you're a Christian and you need the prayers of this church, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.